Salvation Army playing Joy to the World for this Christmas Yuletide season. Introduce us here to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday, a weekly blog talk radio show with your show host, Andrew Herod, where we like to examine important issues of the day for conservatives and others. And today we want to be talking about the Salvation Army, perhaps a little less joyful for this Christmas season for them, traditionally known for their red kettles and collecting money for every time of year, but controversy with delving of the Salvation Army into critical race theory with some new training guides that the Salvation Army has had. And to discuss this controversy, we're joined by townhall.com web editor Rebecca Downs Goldberg. Well, thank you for joining the show, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me on to talk.
Well, just starting off for our listeners here, what happened to the Salvation Army in critical race theory?
So the Salvation Army had put out a document that they encouraged its members to look through, and it contained a lot of embracement of critical race theory, specifically lamenting and repenting for being white, for racism in the United States, specifically in the church in the United States, be an anti-racist. You know, those are the buzzwords we've heard in critical race theory books. It also asked to reject colorblindness, which is actually a Christian concept, gospel of how Jesus was colorblind. So it definitely gained a lot of attention and a lot of backlash that led to people withdrawing their financial support of the what people think of as a great organization that they're happy to donate to.
Yeah, there's this guide that's come into controversy. It's called Let's Talk About Racism. I'm correct. Earlier this summer, and then it got particular notice in the fall here, and apparently the Salvation Army has withdrawn the guide from its website in November, right before Thanksgiving, although you can still see excerpted pages of it at an organization called Color Us United that advocates for this precisely race-blind, colorblindness against any such critical race theory. Well, what history does the Salvation Army have of racism? I mean, first, I guess for listeners, an army, where does it come from? How long has it been in existence, and why would they get involved in this?
That's an excellent question. This has happened to a lot of organizations that are like, oh, you know, we didn't think we were doing anything controversial. Well, critical race theory is a controversial subject. People, black versus white, don't like being called to divide each other. You could see Kenny Yu, he actually is part of Color Us United. He has a tweet. He tweeted on November 25th, 2021, that a tweet from Salvation Army ISJC that is from February 9th, 2021, introducing Let's Talk About Racism. And it's a video which they are saying shares information on a brand new resource to guide courageous conversations about racism. So they seem to be, you know, befuddled by this. And I'm befuddled that they're befuddled. Critical race theory has been in the news a lot. People don't like it. Black and white people don't like it. Asian people don't like it. People who have biracial families don't like it because it's a sense of division. Anti-racism is a buzzword. People... They don't like it. They don't want organizations that they donate to engaging in this.
Army, I looked into a little bit, was founded in 1865, initially in London. I believe it was an outgrowth of the Methodist Church, so a Christian organization
yes.
that I was designed to,
yeah.
Yeah, to engage in charity for your fellow man, love a fellow man. But apparently they actually have, precisely as you indicated, as a Christian organization, they were actually always against racism. I mean, going back to like
exactly.
1898, I believe, you know, they said, you know, we accept anyone into our organization regardless of quality. You know, why would the Salvation Army have something to apologize for?
That's what people want to know. You see responses. It's why do white people have to apologize for something that they had nothing to do with? It happened before they were born or before their generation or, you know, either their ancestors were involved or even maybe their ancestors weren't involved. It has nothing to do with them, but that's the trend. That's like the buzzword, the key, you know, the cool thing to do. Perhaps they thought they were, you know, joining the fray. Perhaps they were misled and misguided. There seems to be a lot of, you know, the Salvation Army was misled and misguided on this, because what speaks to me is how surprised they are that this got so much negative attention. Maybe somebody was asleep at the wheel when they put this out.
Yeah, and you know, speaking about the Salvation Army as a Christian organization, mentioned that you know Jesus. I talk about the message of Jesus in the Bible. How is that relevant to racism? What passages or what lessons would we draw from the Bible against racism?
Jesus he loves everybody. He accepts everybody. You know, you could see it throughout the New Testament with how he talks to people and associates with all kinds of people, including sinners. He calls out sin, but he still loves the sinner. So that kind of speaks to me as Jesus loves and accepts everybody. We're all sinners. That's you know, kind of like that's what unites us. We're all sinners, but we're all you know, worthy. We all fall short, but we're all worthy of God's grace through Jesus.
Yeah, I guess.
Are there any verses? Yeah, are there any verses that you know come to mind for you?
The thing particularly, you know, people know, of course, you know, precisely the parable of the Good Samaritan. And also the interactions of Jesus with Samaritans, which you have to understand context where this sort of outcast, half-breed people that were really in hostility with the Jews, Jews like Jesus. So you have that crossing of a very important sort of ethnic divide and barrier. I mean, the whole parable of the Good Samaritan is, you know, your neighbor can be anyone, even someone, you know, from a really hated or, you know,
exactly.
As Samaritans, but the Samaritan helps the wounded Jew in the parable.
Yeah, yeah. It's to me, it's more about what unites us is that, you know, everybody is, regardless of skin color or nationality or ethnicity or gender, is, you know, a child of God and is worthy of God's love and God's grace, and it's through Jesus that we are saved.
I think important, you know, the birth of the church at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes down and you know, the disciples in the, you know, in the upper room in Jerusalem, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak in all these tongues, and they're speaking to all these different people that have come on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and you have, you know, Ethiopians and Arabs and so forth. And yet, you know, so they're all receiving this message from the Holy Spirit, you know, united as one church, even though they're from the widest background. So that'd be an example.
That's another great example. Yeah, who Jesus interacted with and wanted people to interact with and wanted, you know, to reach out to each other.
And of course, the whole Roman Empire under which, you know, the Jews were occupied, but then later, you know, was converted to Christianity. I mean, the Roman Empire was, of course, a very multi-ethnic, multi-racial entity in the ancient world in the Mediterranean. So, indeed, there the whole concept of racism, which is actually a rather modern concept, would not have been known.
True. It was more classist. It was more
black.
Yes. Yeah. Society was more focused on class then.
Yeah. You know, I guess it's very strange that a Christian, I mean, obviously, you know, Christians in the past have sinned with respect to racism, if you think of like slavery or segregation or so, but, you know, if you're looking at the Christian message itself is indeed very opposed to racism. So I don't understand why, you know, it isn't.
Yeah.
About
that
Christian organization
has,
would
yeah.
apologize for this.
And that actually has me thinking that, you know, anybody can be a Christian. There's such a diverse coalition of people who are Christian. And I think that speaks to the unifying message that is Christianity. You know, people from all continents are Christian.
Right, right. And indeed, of course, you know, that you've been very as well as I, you know, there, of course, there's a, you know, a crossing of all sorts of ethnic and racial lines there. It's very strange. Well, you know, who thought up this document? This Let's Talk About Racism. It came from this International Social Justice Commission. What is that in the Salvation Army?
That's again, that's the new cool thing to have that. People have been asking, wait, why does the Salvation Army have this? Because that's the cool thing to have now. That people are recruited. It's not just the Salvation Army. It's actually worse in places that are not the Salvation Army because you have universities and companies where people are paid to come up with this crazy social justice. It's all a bunch of buzzwords. If you see social justice, if you see anti-racism, things that maybe sound good and popular, but then you have to delve into it and you're like, this is not what I thought it was and not what it should be.
Yeah, you know, these code words, you know, like you say, anti-racism, this idea from Ibram Kendi, this big proponent of this critical race theory, and of course also social justice. Apparently, this International Social Justice Commission of the Salvation Army, I believe, was created in 2007, and is based in New York City. Well, do you know? That would lead you to think, wouldn't it? Well, do you know? Did any corporations have any influence on creating this document and pushing this?
That would be an excellent question. I'm sure you could find out through some digging it would not surprise me. They probably all kind of borrow from each other. They kind of, it's probably, oh, I'll get this corporate influence, and that will, you know, protect me. But then you got to face the backlash for that as well. But that is a good question, something definitely worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at the Salvation Army, thinking of this whole issue of racism, who contributes to the Salvation Army and who are the primary beneficiaries of the Salvation Army? Does that show any racism? I mean, who are the people who work for the Salvation Army and who gets aided by it?
No, the sad thing is that they're probably just regular people like you and me who are doing – they're volunteers for the most part when we think of what the Salvation Army does with the red kettle and you have volunteers ringing the bell and asking for people for donations to give to the less fortunate than us. I don't think somebody who relies on the Salvation Army really cares if how woke or anti-racist the company is. I think that takes out the human that adds like that corporate anti-racist message to it, and it takes out the human element. Like who's involved in the Salvation Army? Regular people. I would say.
Well, I noticed one statistic is that the Salvation Army in the United States, I mean, this is indeed an international organization. The current head of the CEO of the Salvation Army, I believe, is a Canadian. But I believe it's like the United States that contributes the most to the Salvation Army. I think I saw some statistic of something like 60%. And the people who receive non-white. Which I also think is also something like 60%. So, you know, again, it strikes me as strange that it's precisely this organization that's doing so much good for non-white people that's all of a sudden now under this shadow of being racist.
Yeah, why do you have to ruin a good thing? it's doing such good work for people who are not white. And people who are, I think people who need the aid, who rely on the aid from organizations like the Salvation Army, I have a feeling that they would rather the organization focus on being efficient and productive and not dividing people rather than doing anti-racist training. That's just my hunch.
Yeah, I imagine that is indeed a distraction. And again, I guess going along with this theme, you know, it's been shown statistically, I guess about a decade and a half ago, I guess it was a sociologist or some other academic, you know, studied charitable giving in the United States and found that it was precisely conservatives and religious people who are the most charitable. You know, it's not like, you know, liberals like leftists like Bernie Sanders or whatever who are really doing the most charity. It's precisely mostly conservative people. So again, you know, why would someone accuse those people of being racist?
Well, people like Bernie Sanders, rich liberals, they want it done through the government. They want the government to take care of people, which you have to look into. That's a whole, you know, conversation. Is that, okay, why is there a reason to be big government? A well-intentioned reason in that it helps people, but the government's not efficient enough to help people. That's also not the government's job. Not that we want people to suffer, but just it's not efficient. So that figure does not surprise me.
I guess, dealing with this Christian message of the Salvation Army, there's also an issue there that, goes along with sayings like, you know, if you feed a person a day, give a person for a fish for a day, he'll eat for a day, but, you know, you want to train him to fish. That also this Christian message that you see this in like issues like welfare reform and so forth, that you really need to transform people to get them out of poverty. A lot of these people are suffering from problems like drug abuse and so forth to get them out of this You really need a transformation of the person.
And it's a matter of human dignity to not, to be able to do something for yourself and take care of yourself and not have to rely on somebody. You want that person to have that human dignity to do it, to do for themselves.
Right, indeed. And that leads to a lot more independence. I mean, that again, I think, again, this is a fundamental contradiction with this whole critical race. Thinking of people like Ibrahim Kendi, that it emphasizes this message of victimhood and dependence, and there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
There's always going to be someone who's going to oppress you.
Yeah, there's so much that has gotten distorted and has been fallen away from is I think, you know, also the takeaway from that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, how have Salvation Army members and supporters reacted to discovering this critical race theory Salvation Army?
So as for the supporters, people pulled back their donations. You know, that was initially the great thing about the Salvation Army. You don't think of them as a political organization or something that's involved in, you know, hot button issues like that. So people were angry and they pulled out. There's some viral posts about it. I wrote an article for Town Hall about it, and it mentions a Christian, you know, radio host who I give him credit. He said, I'm not going to call my listeners to not donate anymore. I'm going to tell them to read this document for themselves and come to the conclusions, but I'm not going to donate to them. And then when Salvation Army reacted, like you and I were saying, they were kind of surprised. They tried to have it both ways. And when you do that, you don't please anybody. Who are you trying to win over? You know, you might be trying to save your skin, but you're not, you know, it hardly ever works. What they did is they tried to kind of dance around it and say, oh, you know, it was not mandatory and we don't know why everybody's making it a big deal. The amusing thing to me is that, I shouldn't say amusing, but this, you know, is a good thing to highlight, is Snopes even fact-checked them. You know, the fact-checkers don't always get it right, but they did weigh in on this one, and, you know, I have to say I agree with their assessment on that. So they've tried to deny it. They've kind of, unfortunately, Salvation Army, you know, I do have to feel for them. They don't seem to be, you know, well prepared for this. Maybe they have bad PR. Maybe they didn't know it was going to go this far. But they've tried to react in every way you can imagine, denying it, you know, trying to double down on it, trying to own it, you know, it hasn't worked out well for them.
Okay, so perhaps then you might speculate that the Salvation Army, precisely because it stayed away from political issues, now all of a sudden they're caught with a controversy and they haven't really dealt with this before. So now they're really inexperienced in dealing with any sort of criticism.
I think that's a great way of putting it. I think that's charitable to them. You hate to see it. You hate to see good organizations fall for this trap of, you know, imbibing by critical race theory. Their kind of response to it is like, well, we withdrew it. Okay, so I guess you could applaud them for that, but it shouldn't have been up in the first place, and you want, that's what you want acknowledgement of.
Well, thinking of these issues of controversies, has the Salvation Army ever had any controversies in the past? I mean, I can't think of anything in particular. You know, it seems like all my life they've sort of been inquiring. I can't think of anyone ever attacking them. The only thing I can notice, you know, of course, in recent decades, of course, you know, being a Christian organization, they've come under fire for their continuing stands against all of these, you know, homosexual and gender ideologies. But other than that, you know, I can't think of any controversy they've had.
I'm with you. You know, from our for our audience perspective, not in the way that we would consider a controversy. Anybody who doesn't toe the line on the LGBTQ agenda is considered controversial by the left, but not necessarily. I haven't considered them to be a controversial organization until now.
Now, you say that they've reacted all sorts of different ways. You indicate now, as we stated, they've pulled down this document. Let's talk about whether you've seen people pushing this agenda in other ways in the organization.
Well, that's a good question. They did take down. So in my article, So when I was writing about this, I Googled the document title, and I very easily found a link. In, you know, it was the second result the first time I searched it. Now that's no longer up there. But why – see, that gives pause because they, you know, are they just being smarter about it now? Are they going to just cover it up? Are they I don't want to be cynical about the Salvation Army, but one possibility is that they are still going to teach it and encourage it, or, you know, whatever phrasing you want to use. They're just going to be quiet about it, and then we'll have to rely on whistleblowers, as has been the past with other organizations. So they took it down. Colorist United has excerpts available. If you want to take them at their word, if that's something people feel comfortable doing, then that's great. There is reason to be encouraged, but there's also reason to be cynical too about if they really are, you know, okay, we're not going to teach it.
Yeah, I mean, after all, you wonder if it's going to just disappear overnight, or if they're, you know, I mean, who first drew up this thing and who might still want to push this message, and, you know, is it just simply overnight thrown?
Why not just have a message that says, or a disclaimer, or, you know, a highlight that says, you know, this is no longer, you know, what we're encouraging. You know, when you try to hide something, it gives people pause.
Now, what came about? Are there any questions about, say, Salvation Army leadership becoming out of touch? I mean, this was something done, as we indicate, at this International Social Justice Commission in New York City, mm-hmm. of the Salvation Army. But our executives are at the leadership at the Salvation Army, are they sort of losing touch with the basic values of the people in this organization?
It's possible. It's entirely possible. They, you know, they're humans who want to be liked, because that does mean, you know, I'm sure they hope it means financial gain for their organization. Excuse me, that helps the less fortunate and does fulfill their message, but also it's, you know, they're run by human beings who want to be liked, who want money themselves, who want fame and popularity and notoriety. So it seems like that's mean to divide people. They still probably figured, oh, this is like what's big right now. Let's get into it. And this is something that the Salvation Army General did share, as Kenny, you highlighted. So it had to have come from the top. It's not, I would not say that, oh, you know, some fringe chapter of the Salvation Army shared it or was promoting it and leadership didn't have a clue. No, unfortunately, this does seem to be leadership.
Uh-huh. So you're thinking maybe the Salvation Army was trying to get trendy here, and you know, as you said, maybe as a way of getting some financial support, like, you know, we want to get, you know, Bill Gates or whatever, you know, to get behind this. So let's get their attention with this.
Yeah, or they, you know, are, even though you and I were saying and other people have said that the Salvation Army, what do they have to apologize for? You know, maybe they got scared and paranoid and they said, oh my, you know, they wanted to, you know, they didn't want to even risk being quote unquote canceled or, you know, somebody making an accusation against them. You know, they were perhaps trying to get in front of a non-existent problem and then created a further problem for themselves.
Well, now, has the Salvation Army...
Yeah.
Yeah. Has the Salvation Army going woke? Has there been any other signs of the Salvation Army kind of going left on other issues? I mean, we talked about all these LGBT issues. There's been some criticism I heard saying maybe the Salvation Army is perhaps some... for pandering to those issues. I mean, on their website, they have now like a page that sort of talks about LGBT issues. It's framed in a manner of like, you know, we care for all people and, you know, say if like they're, you know, gay teens or whatever who've run away from home, you know, we're there to help. I mean,
yeah.
not necessarily a message of saying we approve of this, or but there to help. I mean, has there been a Salvation Army sort of lose its fiber?
So with stuff like that, It's a sign of the times, because you should just be able to say we care for all people and leave it at that. You don't have to make that an LGBT issue. You could just, mm-hmm. because, you know, like you were saying, you know, that doesn't mean that they endorse same-sex marriage or, you know, forcing churches to adopt to same-sex couples, or, you know, supporting transgender, so-called, you know, transgender youth, is you could say, you know, we support all people and leave it at that. Why does that have to be an LGBT issue? So I think, you know, in that sign, that's the sign of the time. So, you know, the left up until this probably didn't think the Salvation Army was woke enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe then was the Salvation Army trying, as you say again, trying to, you know, the pressure on these other criticisms they're getting, but we'll appease you this way by going woke on race issues.
That's my thinking. That you know, it probably started off well-intentioned somewhere, and it just snowballed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe do a little virtue signaling, and that'll get us some brownie
exactly.
points.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And then so take at least some of the heat off. Well, have other organizations like the other major organization I would think of in the United States is like the United Way, which is not a specifically Christian organization, so therefore, you know, much more sort of liberal left-leaning than the Salvation Army. But have they faced any similar controversies over wokeness and critical race theory?
United Way has run into some liberal like controversies from my understanding. As far as if they're woke, I haven't seen it, but you never know. You know, it's we can only rely on whistleblowers so much. It wouldn't surprise me. So you do a, here we go. So I just did a Google search on my phone, United Way critical race theory. And sure enough, first three out of four search results on Google is from the United Way site itself. And it has a race equity challenges and race equity framework. And there is an article from August 25th, 2021 by Rod Dreher from the American Conservative called United Way Goes Woke.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, Rod Dreher, of course, yeah, leading conservative thinker at the American Conservative. Yeah, he would be a good person to keep an eye out for this stuff, but yeah, that brings up interesting speculation. So, and wider probably got to watch, you know, your charitable dollars if you're giving it not just to the Salvation Army, but to the United Way and other organizations. So I guess maybe, you know, this is indicative of a broader pattern here.
Yeah, and that, you know, that creates a conundrum for Americans is where do they want their money going? Who do they want to donate to? And with your money, you do with your money what you will, donate to whatever organizations you like. I would just hate for people to you know, put their money somewhere that goes to something they don't agree with or is that fundamentally at odds or they didn't know about. You know, for instance, it kind of reminds me of like our tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood. So I don't like supporting any organization that supports Planned Parenthood, which of course is the nation's largest abortion chain, but also because my tax dollars already go to Planned Parenthood. They don't need any more of my money implicitly or otherwise. So I would just encourage people to be smart about, know where their money is going. For instance, this might be slightly similar, slightly different, but also who you patronize. I don't expect, when I buy a product, I don't expect to agree with everything, sometimes anything, that the manufacturer does. But I have to pick my battles. I'll drink Starbucks, for instance, but I won't buy Nike products. So, it's kind of, but at least I'm getting a service. When you're donating money or time, you don't really get any, I shouldn't say you don't get anything in return, but you don't get a product. You get, a sense of feeling good about yourself, knowing you did something. So I would say people should be especially cautious about where they donate their money or their time and how that kind of, where that time and money is going towards.
Well, if you're talking about the continuing, they're not going to, mend their ways, as it were. What alternatives would you suggest for donations? What might be an alternative to the Salvation Army?
Certain Catholic Christian organizations, you might know more about what your specific is doing. Or a nearby church if you don't, attend a house of worship. Pregnancy centers are great organizations because they not only help pregnant women who, may need resources, life-affirming resources, they help post-abortive women who are struggling with that unfortunate choice that they made at one point, and also women whose children are already born a short time later. So I think that's a great organization. That they help all kinds of people, crisis pregnancy centers, and I think local, donate to people, more local churches or organizations, because you kind of know, you can find out more about what they're doing, where the money goes, who they're interacting with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I guess you could say, think global, act local. I mean, on a more local level, you have more control, whereas organizations like the Salvation Army or the United Way, I guess it's the issue of the big corporation or something.
And something I would say is that, and that's not to say that if you send money to the Salvation Army that they're going to use it for critical race theory training or what have you. It's the matter of principle. You don't want your money going towards an organization that took such a stance, I think is what's important to clarify as well, because it's the principle of it. Principle's a big deal when your money is involved. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, and I guess, coming from my background, I grew up and was involved in Boy Scouts and became an Eagle Scout. And there's, of course, a primary example of an organization that just self-destructed with, you know, all sorts of ideology. I mean, all the whole load of LGBT stuff. So that's really a warning there to think of that, both for people involved in such an organization and for people supporting them, organizations implode if they don't stand true to a platform and to principles.
Or also, you know, something that they do, you know, maybe because it's an organization run by imperfect humans who, you know, do something wrong for one reason or another, they are say, okay, we have to address this genuine problem, this genuine scandal, and then it goes from there. And they're addressing, you know, LGBT issues. And it's like, wait a second, I thought, you know, this was an issue that somebody in leadership did this or looked the other way when this happened. Why are we all of a sudden trying to get, you know, the LGBT community support? It's because, you know, where you try to have it both ways. You try to, like, sometimes repenting. That's why, you know, God's the best person, the best being to repent to, because humans, you're always going to anger somebody. You can't, I really do not recommend going the route of, you know, oh, we apologize, we're going to, you know, go back on this, because then you anger the people who, you know, wanted you to do that, and then you rarely make friends with people who were angry with your initial decision. So it's a whole mess. Like, you see it with disinvited speakers and the like.
Yeah, I mean, as the saying goes, you can't please everyone. I mean, we live in a fallen world. Not everyone's going to agree.
Yes.
Not everyone's going to be good. So, you know, you just can't pander to everyone. And, you know, you just have to stand fast and say, sorry, this is wrong. We can't please you on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, thinking about the Salvation Army here and wokeness and critical race theory, have you in your own experience, maybe in your own church or other organizations you've been affiliated with, have you noted any other similar issues of such woke ideologies infiltrating organizations?
So you hate to see it because they're a big organization that everybody, you know, likes and knows of, Disney. Disney is big into the wokeness. And they have their own critical race theory. It's now called diversity training. And, you know, I'm a parent, and I want to know about what my children are learning and that it's not in contradiction with what I want them to learn. I haven't had to – I've stopped buying Nike products, but you know, that's – I loved my Nike shoes, but, you know, I had to make that decision. It's when organizations, to me, it's when organizations go out of their way to kind of alienate a certain customer or a certain demographic or a certain part of the population.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you mentioned Disney. I mean, Disney is often, you know, family-friendly entertainment, you know, all these cartoons and so forth, and, you know, Snow White and
Disney
everything.
Disney World, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the whole Disney Corporation now, as you indicated, has really become, I mean, there's been all sorts of stories about how they're pushing all these gay agendas and so forth, and you have all these activists working for Disney that want to infiltrate all these messages into precisely this entertainment that children and families are consuming. So, yeah, it's no longer the family friendly place.
Therefore you have, parents should know, they should always know, but especially know what their children, what they themselves are watching, you know, to said what you want to watch, but then also know what your children are watching.
Yeah, that becomes so critical today. Well, thinking of Christian organizations like the Salvation Army, do you think leftists, you know, we think of maybe like, you know, leading sugar daddies for all these leftist movements like George Soros's Open Society movement. Are they targeting Christian organizations like the Salvation Army as sort of being key cultural battlegrounds, you know, commanding heights in society that you want to win over to send these messages?
Does the Salvation Army want to win over people?
No. Our sort of leftists, okay. You think like organizations like Salvation Army are particularly vulnerable because, you know, leftists want to sort of capture them to broadcast their message on, say, critical race theory or LGBT agendas or anything else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say that because it's not just like, you know, again, run by imperfect humans who want to be like or, you know, get something out of it, but also like they need people to like them to survive, you know, to get donations. So, yeah, especially I would say, you know, that it is a Christian organization, but also that it's like a charitable organization. They need people to like them to survive, and they calculated in a big way.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a navigating, you know, popular currents and always a question of, you know, who's going to give you the best support, who's going to give you the best deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, do you think it seems to me that, you know, there's been talk, particularly in education, people saying that, mm-hmm. oh, critical race theory, it's really just sort of a made-up threat. It doesn't really exist in education.
No.
I mean, doesn't the Salvation Army experience here show us that, you know, this is a threat that society has to be concerned about?
I honestly don't know where people get there. I've heard that argument said, oh, it's not in the curriculum. It's not taught. I honestly don't know where people get that idea because you hear it all the time way too much. But it's embedded in it. Larry O'Connor for Town Hall wrote a great column last month, like a beginning, middle of November, about, yeah, it's like in the curriculum. Like it's so part of it that it just like, you know, it's in math now. You're not, you know, everything's part of equity and you know, anti-racism and diversity that they almost don't need to be like, you know, and today we're going to learn about critical race theory. No, they don't. That's how they say, oh, it's on the curriculum or, oh, it's not taught. It's like we've been saying, it's the buzzwords. It's that, you know, you kind of have to do your research. Sometimes it's harder than others, but I'm so both tired of and befuddled by the claim that it's, that, you know, it's, oh, it's not taught. And it was a big issue. So I live in Virginia, and I covered the Virginia gubernatorial race. It was a big deal in Virginia. And Terry McAuliffe, who was the governor before, actually, from 2014 to 2018, kept saying on the campaign trail that, you know, these claims about critical race theory, it's a racist dog whistle and I hate it. And it's a Donald Trump conspiracy theory. Well, people didn't like that. That was a major issue in the election.
Yeah, I mean, certainly in reading these excerpts from Let's Talk About Racism, again, posted online mm-hmm. At Colors United, I mean, it's filled with all this language, as you indicated before, you know, like reject color blindness and all those accusations that there's systematic racism and you know, in society that, you know, all of our institutions are corrupted by reading all these books like from Ibram Kendi or Robin DiAngelo, her book on white fragility and, you know, the 1619 Project as well receives a mention there, you know, this discredited study that says that, you know, America's always been just infected with racism from the very beginning and has never had any sort of overcoming or improvement. It's just always been the dominant ideology of the United States. What would Christians say? I mean, we've had this come up and now we've had this horrendous killing in Wisconsin. You know, this mm-hmm. black guy ran into a Christmas parade and killed six people, including an 8-year-old boy. I mean, is there a real distortion in this critical race theory that's you know, really inciting violence, and you know, and really poisoning the atmosphere in our society. I mean, shouldn't the stuff be aware of that?
Are you asking if it's something that's in society now to be aware of?
Well, I guess it occurs to me, you know, what would Christians think that, you know, there's been this, you know, you have Christians at the Salvation Army, they're facing these accusations that they have to repent for racism. And now we have, you know, these killings at a Christmas parade in Wisconsin. You know, this guy apparently and attacked this parade. You know, it seems like a real reverse of what's being advocated in the Salvation Army.
Exactly. It shows a piece of racism, of lower expectations, you know, of criminals, criminal suspects, although he has been convicted of other crimes, is my understanding. Darryl Brooks Jr. is his name. But also it's reverse racism. If that man was, if it was a white man who, you know, had posted anti-black things, that would be equally bad, but it would not receive equal attention. It would receive much more attention. And we would have people blaming former President Donald Trump and you know, all sorts of things. But I would say that it's media malpractice. You know, Town Hall has covered it. Certainly the mainstream media, not as much as we would have liked them to, but it's an instance of reverse racism to not be like, oh, we don't want to, you know, cover a black man, a suspect who, you know, is pro Black Lives Matter and anti-white people and anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been really astonishing that you know, it seems like no one wants to cover that event. There's been hardly any attention paid to that at all. What should people learn from the Salvation? How can people fight back against these woke trends, and what can they do to prevent this from happening in any organization they're involved in?
Sure. Make it known that they're not going to, if they are angry about it, that they're not going to send their money to such an organization, and therefore that organization will lose money from individuals. You know, promote things like that you do believe in and stand up for your beliefs. And, you know, if you're on social media, share, retweet, you know, people you do agree with. And I would say just be mindful of, that doesn't mean that, you know, every organization is, you know, oh no, I mean, this organization is engaged in this and I have nobody I can donate to. I'm not saying that. I would be mindful of where your money is going.
Mm-hmm. What about maybe, you know,
yeah,
would it be a good idea that, you know, organizations should be sort of preemptive, organizations should outright take a stand against any such ideas of critical race theory and say, look, you know, we simply believe in human equality, and we're not going to accept anything that suggests that any one person or group is sort of a priori racist or hostile. Yeah.
I wouldn't want that either. I wouldn't want it addressed at all. Because that's my personal thing, because then you're going to alienate, you know, the other side. An organization, like you or I, Andrew, we could, you know, post about our thoughts that if we'd like, but an organization like the Salvation Army, I don't want to hear them talking about pro or anti critical race theory, because I don't want them to be talking about critical race theory at all. I think they should be talking about their events and their efforts to help the less fortunate, and, you know, where I can find the, you know, red kettle to donate. I don't want them delving into it at all, because then from their perspective, they could be alienating people who are pro-critical race theory. I shouldn't have, like, we shouldn't know the personal owner's stance on critical race theory because it shouldn't matter, if that makes sense to me. That's why, like when I'm, and that's the because, you know, these organizations are run by individuals with personal opinions, beliefs, and ideas, that's their right, but it shouldn't affect the work that they do if it's not related work.
Mm-hmm. What about another aspect?
Sure.
I guess we sort of touched upon. Do you think there needs to be any better at an organization like the Salvation Army? Do you need better vetting of people who come in, your CEOs or so forth, find out what their background is and what their views are, to make sure that you're not going to, have a danger here, be susceptible to any such things coming in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would definitely say that, because you want somebody who unites people. You want, like, people who are pro-critical race theory and people who are anti-critical race theory should be able to come together and, donate to the Salvation Army. So vetting is always good. That's, I'm not a PR person or a crisis, PR firm, but just, I feel like it's common sense then that you don't want, you don't want somebody at the top who's going to make, put forth a negative message and a negative news story about your organization. So vetting is always a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know, thinking about the Salvation Army here, I mean, the United States, as we've indicated, is the main branch of the Salvation Army. Has any other part of the Salvation Army around the world faced any such issues, like, say, in the United Kingdom, where it was originally founded?
So the document, it's funny, it talks about, like, that international social justice. It talks about the United States. So it seems to be something to do with the United States, which I feel like is another thing then, because it's another way to embarrass, it's an embarrassment on the international stage. Other countries see us and they're like, wait, why is, what's up with the United States and racism? That's another thing, you don't want to invite that international negative news story. You don't want any negative news stories. You want people that would distract people from donating or supporting the Salvation Army.
I see. That's an interesting aspect that maybe see, like, Americans might say, hey, you're really insulting my country and bringing,
mm-hmm.
Negative attention to it from around the world through this international organization of the Salvation Army.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you got to the beginning is, it's to address churches in America kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. The initial part of the document talked about a drug.
Yeah.
I mean, now that the document's no longer available, I haven't seen that. But that does bring in
Thank God, I'm telling you this by memory. Yeah, it's not available anymore. But I remember it. And I remember calling to mind, like, oh, my gosh, we don't need this negative international attention. This is so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like that would prompt a lot of division if you have, like, the Salvation Army in the United States and maybe also being involved in, say, like, I don't know, Caribbean or African countries where, like, around the world.
Exactly. It's a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
they don't need.
Yeah, an unfortunate distraction for this Christmas season when we want to unite around the Salvation Army and the spirit of the season and give to our fellow man. I guess we can only hope that the Salvation Army learns from this experience in your comments and goes forward and doesn't repeat this.
Exactly. That is a good thing to hope for.
Well,
lesson learned.
Yeah, a teaching moment, a learning experience.
Yes.
And for our listeners out there, we've been listening to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday with your show host, Andrew Herod, where we like to examine important issues of the day for conservatives and others. And we've been talking with Rebecca Downs-Goldberg, the townhall.com web editor, about the Salvation Army going woke with their new and then recently withdrawn study guide or training manual. Let's talk about racism. Well, Rebecca, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah for any of the Jewish listeners out there. It's Hanukkah is still a few more days, and then we've got Christmas coming up.
All right, indeed. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year. And tune in next Friday
Thank
for
you.
Another episode of Conservative Casual Friday.
Thank you. God bless.